The next case is 95-1134, State of Ohio versus Welder Sefcik. Justice Cook is not participating in this case. We're very pleased to have sitting in place of Justice Cook, Judge John Young, who is a judge of the Court of Appeals sitting in the 10th District. Welcome, Judge Young. Mr. Rosenbaum.
Thank you much, Judge. Good morning. The state respectfully submits to this court the consequences to the document of residency not considered in the amendments of opinions of decision in Westfall. Ninth District Court of Appeals, as this court is aware, has interpreted Westfall to precluding an application for document of residency cottage to the facts in this case. I'm sure this court is well aware of fundamental principles and role of importance to document of residency cottage place in our system and justice in our society. The issue of whether a minor misdemeanor could serve as a predicate act in an involuntary manslaughter conviction was the assignment of error number two in the direct appeal of this case. This court refused to accept jurisdiction on that issue as it did in Westfall in the direct appeal. Until Westfall, that denial of acceptance of jurisdiction was a ruling on the merits. It is questionable as to what decision Westfall has done to that doctrine. The defense has argued as a result of that his case could not have been and was not fully and finally litigated until this court ruled upon Collins. And I think that destroys the doctrine that the declination of the accepted jurisdiction by this court is a ruling on the merits. And now any case that was not specifically heard by this court or involving an issue that was not heard by this court or was declined, if Westfall is left to stand, is later subject to attack, as happened in this case. My question, to try to illustrate this, whether Gum is now entitled to have his position reevaluated in light of Wolfenstahl. And I think if that is the case, the detriment to our criminal justice system is readily apparent. The appellee also argues that the application of the doctrine of res judicata in this case would be unjust because of the wisdom of the Collins decision. To illustrate that, I think that that is not the appropriate consideration here. I suggest to the court that Allen, Collins, and Nagel, the short-lived decision in this court, may not be quite as just as one would incur in light of the legislative reaction to them. In this court, pined in Collins that it presumed that the legislative intent did not mean inaugural, it wrote that it envisioned, and legislature could not have envisioned certain things. I respectfully submit when this court is envisioning and presuming what the legislature meant without reference to clear legislative intent, that the thought process or the will is really that of the court and not of the legislature. And in light of the legislative reaction, I think it is unjust to apply to bar the doctrine of res judicata in this case to effectively clear the appellee in this case. And I think the same thing could be said, the same arguments could be made for all teachers who were convicted under the local parentis section of the sexual battery statute as a result of the Nagel decision. Are all these teachers now entitled to reapply and have their certificates reinstated? I suggest to the court that it is also unjust to apply this part of the doctrine of res judicata in this case because the facts of this case do not even fall in the hands of Collins. This court opined in Collins that the bad result which happens is actually intended or was recklessly produced does not seem too harsh to make the penalty of this punishment depend somewhat on the actual result. In this case, the jury was specifically charged with the criminal reckless standard for recklessness in the underlying predicate act. So the application of the Collins doctrine to this case does not fit. And the barring of res judicata to protect the decision in this case and all their past decisions not only does harm to the doctrine of res judicata, which is a fundamental tenet of our system of justice, just application of the Collins rationale itself, even if accepted.
What's the problem here, Westfall or Collins or both?
Well, in my particular issue, the problem is Westfall.
Just because that was such a short entry, just...
I believe this court did not consider the consequences of this famous decision to back up Res Judicata when attempting to apply Collins to Westfall.
So you're not here arguing the underlying decision in Collins, even though there were two of us who dissented in that case?
That's correct.
You can live with the Collins decision. But applying it in Westfall causes the problem because that takes away the Res Judicata.
I think the Westfall application destroys the doctrine of Res Judicata, which is my issue in this case. I'm taking aside in response to the defendant's argument that he finally has justice as a result of this application. I argue that the results are not so justice.
Well, to follow your argument and rule for you, do we have to overrule Westfall?
Yes.
What does that do to that case?
Westfall?
Not that you care. I mean, what's it do to the person involved in that case?
I assume nothing.
Well, why? If we overrule Westfall because what the jury of the court did in that case was allow the appeal, the judgment of the Court of Appeals is reversed, the judgment of the trial court is reinstated on the authority of Collins, which means that the trial court let that defendant go based on Collins.
That's
right.
Correct. I don't think
so. If we overrule that, that means Collins was wrong.
It shouldn't mean that, but the problem is the state cannot avail itself out of the legal post-conviction relief to reapply Collins' conviction and recreate and reinstate it. And I assume the doctrine of Res Judicata, which clearly states that even the wrong decision should be enforced by that. Probably also preclude the state from going back to Westfall, whether right or wrong.
Now, this was a change, Westfall involved a change in a judicial interpretation. Now, State versus Perry involving Res Judicata said any error that could have been or should have been raised. Does this type of a situation fall within Perry?
I think absolutely. Otherwise, Perry will have no effect whatsoever.
I understand that. So
somewhere down the road.
Because this could have been raised. It was raised,
and this court declined to hear it, as in Westfall's declined to hear this particular issue on direct appeal. And this was the long-standing precedent until Collins. Legislature
and all you're really asking us to do is to go back and revive State versus Perry.
I think I'm asking you to reinstate State versus Perry by a rule of Westmont.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenbaum. Mr. Bradley.
Please, the court. It's my position that it's not necessary for this court to overrule Westfall to reinstate Perry. I believe that Perry is still good law. Basically, the Westfall case only deals with a limited issue, and that is, at the time that this court was considering the Collins case, this court was also asked to consider the case of Walter Sevcik. This court declined jurisdiction in 1993 to hear Mr. Sevcik's appeal regarding the issue of whether or not a minor misdemeanor could support a conviction for involuntary manslaughter. At the same time, this court considered Mr. Collins' case and ruled that a minor misdemeanor could not support a conviction for involuntary manslaughter. I believe that our Court of Appeals, the Ninth District, held correctly that based upon Collins' ruling that in fact there never was a crime of involuntary manslaughter based on a minor misdemeanor. Therefore, anyone who was convicted of involuntary manslaughter based upon a minor misdemeanor did not in fact commit a crime that was recognized on the books in the state of Ohio. And therefore, those particular convictions were in fact void.
Counsel, how do you deal with the state's argument that there's a second basis for the conviction, and that is the reckless finding?
I think it's clearly pointed out in the Collins decision that there are certain misdemeanors that are strict liability misdemeanors that can justify a conviction for involuntary manslaughter. So whether or not there's a culpable mental state is not the key to a conviction for involuntary manslaughter. For example, if a person is caught speeding over 35 miles per hour in a business zone or in a school district, he is charged with a misdemeanor of the fourth degree. That is a strict liability offense. There is no culpable mental state, and yet this court in Collins said it would be fine to allow that particular crime to support a conviction for involuntary manslaughter. Same thing holds true for drag racing. Same thing holds true for driving under the influence for an excess VAC. There's no culpable mental state if you drive in Ohio with a VAC of 0.10 or above. It's a strict liability offense, and that will support a conviction for involuntary manslaughter. So there is no distinction. This court, the syllabus in Collins is very clear. A minor misdemeanor will not support a conviction for involuntary manslaughter. Now, after the court's decision in Collins, the legislature went back and said, we did not write a clear law here. We need to make it very clear that misdemeanors of the first, second, third, fourth, and minor misdemeanors can support a conviction of involuntary manslaughter. And I think this court was very correct in deciding that minor misdemeanors are different from other misdemeanors, and therefore the distinction was correct, that criminal statutes are to be strictly construed against the state and in favor of the accused, and that the Collins decision is a good and clear decision, and that Westfall simply said that because we did not have a crime in this state based upon a minor misdemeanor supporting involuntary manslaughter, that people in similar situations to Mr. Collins, Mr. Westfall, Mr. Sevchek, Mr. Montecalvo, which this court is going to consider, should have their convictions vacated because they were void. The court did not have even jurisdiction to consider those types of offenses because there was no such offense. And therefore, I don't see any reason that this court has to say that Westfall overrules the holding of res judicata in Perry. If this court feels that that is necessary, that Westfall has to be distinguished, I think Judge Slaby, in his concurring opinion in Sevchek, the second Sevchek decision, which is the basis for this particular consideration by this court, indicated that courts have recognized exceptions to preclusion normally afforded by res judicata if the change in the law involves momentous changes in important fundamental constitutional rights. And that's what we have here. We have a situation where a person can't be afforded due process when that person is having to face a crime that doesn't exist. And therefore, I think the Westfall decision correctly states that based upon Collins, this court's decision, that we are not going to permit convictions for involuntary manslaughter based on minor misdemeanors.
I know this isn't a Montecalvo case, but he went to jail, didn't he?
Yes.
And isn't that the ambulance driver?
That's correct.
Has he been released from jail yet?
Yes.
Because if in fact we affirm here, we don't have to spend much time on the Montecalvo case, do we?
No. It's my position that the court did make good decisions in Collins, did make a good decision by applying Collins to Westfall, that this is not going to open floodgates, that it forces the legislature to write clear laws. This court was following the law by the interpretation that it gave to the involuntary manslaughter section. We have a lot of litigation from Lorain County based upon this issue because Mr. Rosenbaum probably is the first prosecutor in the state of Ohio who said, you know, I think we can use minor misdemeanors for involuntary manslaughter convictions.
Floodgates is not one of our problems. We don't look at cases whether or not they'll open the floodgates, although we talk about it often. But why wouldn't it open the floodgates here? Look at all of the people who have been convicted on a minor misdemeanor. Now looking at Collins, and then changed in Westfall, and race judicata being gone, why wouldn't every one of those cases then be up for consideration again?
Collins was decided in 1993, Westfall was decided in 1994. I don't believe that there has been a flood of cases, because it's very rare, first of all, that defendants were charged with involuntary manslaughter and not also charged with aggravated vehicular homicide.
Yes.
And therefore, if you have your conviction based upon reckless conduct for aggravated vehicular homicide, in this particular case, the jury came back and found my client not guilty of aggravated vehicular homicide. They couldn't find the element of reckless, the culpable mental state of recklessness. Now, reckless operation isn't the same thing as the culpable mental state of recklessness.
If we saw a plethora of these cases, and we, different than your impression, we do see some in our motions for cert now that are starting to come. If we take your position, and I think it is your position, is it not that given State v. Collins, it is though the law never was?
That's correct.
Okay. And that means everybody who was involved with a minor misdemeanor, who subsequently was convicted on a more major charge, the underlying fact of being a minor misdemeanor, is clearly not guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
That's correct.
So we would have to set aside every one of those cases, like the majority of the court did in Collins and affirmed in Westfall.
That's correct.
You don't see that that could be a number.
Well, it doesn't mean that justice isn't served. My client is still guilty of vehicular homicide. The jury found him guilty of that particular misdemeanor offense. And so it's not like we have someone who hasn't been found guilty for his actions. It's just that if there's no crime, we don't want people in this state guilty of something that there is no crime for. Legislature's cleared that up, so
what was your client's underlying charge? Speed?
Reckless operation.
He
was found guilty of three minor misdemeanors. Reckless operation, assured clear distance, and improper passing. He was found not guilty of the fourth underlying misdemeanor, which was driving under the influence. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. Mr. Rosenbaum, you've saved 7 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. I would like to point out that if someone were to review the records, it would find that Delaware County was not one of the first. There was longstanding precedent for the charging of manslaughter based on minor misdemeanors for the Washington office. And I would also like to point out that the Delaware County Prosecutor's Office has never charged a felony unless it felt there was elements of recklessness. Now, it may turn out that the jury, in some sort of compromise verdict or some other thing, chose to acquit an aggravated vehicular homicide and convict on involuntary manslaughter, but that does not mean that we were seeking felony punishments for people that only blew a stop sign, because that is absolutely incorrect. I would also like to point out that the application of Westfall is going to apply to the sexual battery statute as well, if the state does not prevail here. And the wisdom of Collins aside, res judicata is an extremely important tenet in our way of life, and I believe it is even more important than Mr. Lennon Collins, even if Collins was correct, which I think we've already argued there, that is subject to some debate.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.